This is Pastor Jim Crisson for the congregation of Rock Springs First Methodist Church. In the reality of today's world, everyone has questions. How do we get here and how do we move forward? You are invited to join us in worship on Sunday mornings as we provide answers to these and other important questions of the hour. Of course, there is only one answer, and that is the love of Jesus, our Christ and Redeemer. We are a Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage. If you're looking for a church home and the fellowship of a faith community to sustain and uphold you as you move forward in your journey, please join us at 10:30 Sunday mornings by Zoom or in-person worship at 1515 Egger Street here in Rock Springs. Visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org. You are welcome to join us at Rock Springs First Methodist Church.
The following worship service was broadcast and recorded live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church, a traditional Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage with Reverend Jimmy Crisson on Sunday, June 20th, 2021.
Good morning. Paul Harvey was a unique announcer. The Lord be with you. I'd like to wish everyone a very happy Father's Day today. It's a beautiful day, so looks like a lot of people are taking advantage of that to be out in the sun and the fun. So let us pray. O God, we trust in your power to create, to sustain, and to enable. Be with us, Lord, as we gather here to worship you. Enable us to bring all that we are to you so that we might experience your touch upon our lives. This we pray in the name of Jesus, amen.
We lift our hearts to you, gracious and loving God, in gratitude for your many, many blessings. Father, we often overlook them. Sometimes we just take them for granted. Sometimes we live regretfully with the expectation that we deserve them. But it is by your grace and in your love that we receive your mercy, your grace that abounds. Despite our often rebellious hearts, our stubborn natures, our half-hearted efforts at things, our partial commitments, sometimes putting ourselves ahead of you, and certainly ahead of serving others. And Father, as we find ourselves before you, we know that serving is difficult. Serving you is not easy. But Father, you don't call us to the easy. You call us to you. And it is in you that we find strength for the not so easy road that is following you. Father, maybe we've painted Christianity as the easy road when it is far from it. Being a Christian in the midst of a lost world is difficult. Loving those who reject your love is difficult. But Father, we are ever so grateful that while we were yet in our sins, you loved us enough to send Jesus to die for us, to restore our relationship with you. And it is in his name we come.
lifting our hearts before you. Many needs are just silently carried upon our hearts. Some we've lifted. Others who have called upon us, we've written in our bulletin, whose name we don't know, the situation we don't know, but it's here by faith we come and intercede for them and lift them up. Father, we pray for our nation during these times of trial and change. Father, we pray that there would be peace and that we would love one another and that we would lay aside selfish agendas, self-centered efforts. Truth would be harbored as good, and that love would take away the darkness. But Father, we realize that all of that is only possible in you, for with us, it all seems overwhelming. The division, the rhetoric that is going around. Father, may you be turned to by even those who call themselves Christian. Father, we'd pray for revival, but it would seem it needs to start in our own ranks, in churches all across this land, as people would rededicate themselves to lives of service, commitment to you, and serving others. We pray for the leaders in the world, the saber rattling would stop, and that we would learn war no more. That the common good and the needs of the less would really be touched and changed. And Father, we pray for our local leadership. We pray for churches in this country and around the world. We pray for family groups that meet and kneel together. We pray for moms and dads, aunts and uncles, all of those who love each other but love you first, that you would bless them in a special anointing to service. And Father, as we come today, there are many, many ways we can serve you. Enlighten us, as the song says, illumine us that we may see. Move us that we would commit. Strengthen us that we may stay the course. Open hearts and minds and ears and eyes to receive your truth. Make hearts receptive and change lives with your mercy. We pray for those who travel and are away. We pray, Father, for those who mourn the loss of their fathers, for those who may be estranged from them, that there would be reconciliation, that there would be comfort, and others who would just be glad and share the love and grace with their fathers. And now may you hear us as heart and voice is joined to pray as you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I'm reading this morning from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, Let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The Gospel of Mark. Two main themes, fear and faith. And here we find them locked into six verses of Scripture. I've often dodged this text, but then I've often embraced it, and this time I've done a little of both. I've kind of struggled with them and kind of wrestled with this text. I feel like maybe Apostle Paul a little bit wrestling with this text from Matthew. But as I look at it, some things really jump out at me that fit us today. And it wasn't easy to ferret out because I had to start looking inside. How many of you realize that before you hear my sermon, I hear it first? So you need to understand, God gets in me too and says, "Jimmy, we need to talk about some things." So you need to remember, I hear them first. So you have this text, and Jesus is, he's been teaching in parables, you know, you follow along. And now he says, let's go on the other side. Let's go out to the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus loads in a boat, and there are some other boats that go with them. They're not alone. And they go out to the Sea of Galilee, and the Sea of Galilee isn't very big, and it is known and prone to get these huge storms and winds that come in and can raise 30-foot waves on the Sea of Galilee. Now, you need to think about this just for a minute. A typical fishing vessel of that day, remember, you've got 13 people on this boat, okay? It's about 40 feet long, 36 to 40 feet long, and it's about 12 to 15 feet wide. It isn't even as big as this section of pews. Got that kind of sinking in? How many of you have ever been on a boat? Where's the bow? Front. You bow at the front. Then where's the stern? It's the stem. Yeah, it's where the spine is, the stern. It's the rear of the ship. Which is the lowest point on a ship? The bow or the stern? The stern. Why? No, that's where the rudder's at. You need the rudder to be the deepest draft point, whether it's a sailboat, a paddle boat. It needs the stern to steer in the rear. Can you tell I was in the Marine Corps and spent time on a boat with that bunch of... They hate it when you call a ship that's above the water a boat. If you've got any Navy friends, ask them what boat they were on. Now, they'll be happy if they were in a submarine because that is a boat. Anything above the water is a ship or a craft. But a boat's a submarine. Just pick it on. The stern is the lowest point. And guess where? If water's going to go in the ship, it's going first. The stern. Water goes to the lowest point. So here we've got Jesus. And it's interesting. You know, I read this text many times, and it just caught my attention this week, is that Mark includes the fact that not only is Jesus in the back of the boat where the water would have been coming up first, the boat being swamped means it's filling up. Remember, the boat never sinks from the amount of water on the outside. It sinks from the amount of water that gets on the inside. It's being swamped, meaning it's sinking. That means the water level inside the boat is as deep as it is on the outside of the boat. It's up to the waterline. And I notice that Mark puts in there, and Jesus, the teacher, is in the stern of the boat sleeping on a cushion. Why'd you put cushion in there? I mean, who cares, right? Mark cared. The disciples cared because they'd been having a discussion. We're working our butts off out here. The storm is raging, and that person is laying back there in the back of the boat on a cushion. Do you see what's going on here? How many of you, if there was an able-bodied person on the ship that was sinking, would want them sleeping? Come on. So they go back, they're upset, right? Maybe, rightfully so, from where they're at. They go back and he's sleeping on a cushion. And what do they say? Teacher, Rabbi, Jesus, you don't care. You're just going to let us drown. Do you not care? Have you ever wondered if Jesus cared about you? Have you ever been wondering, going through a hard time, thinking it over, mulling it over? Wondering, if Jesus cared, why would I have to go through this? If Jesus cared, why did so-and-so pass away? If Jesus cared, why is there cancer? If Jesus cares, if our God is all-powerful, why is there division in the people? Have you ever wondered, does he really care? The disciples, don't you care that we're going to die? And notice what happens. Jesus wakes up. It's kind of cool. I mean, when you think about it, just think about it. You're back there in the back of the boat. How many of you have ever slept while you were on a boat? It's absolutely some of the best sleep you'll ever get. It's kind of like being back in the womb and sloshing around a little, you know. Safe, secure. It's just something about it. He wakes up. I just love the thought of Jesus waking up. He was tired. He'd been doing miracles. He'd been teaching. He'd been working with those stubborn people. He got on this ship, and he gets a little rest. He's got a cushion. So he wakes up. Think about that. Son of man. God's son. Our Savior. Kind of knows what it's like, don't he? He knows where we're coming from, don't he? Notice what he does first. Did he fuss at those boys? Did he say, why'd you wake me up? You bunch of Neanderthal knuckle draggers, can't you figure nothing out on your own? Do I have to put up with you since the time of creation? Can you not get anything through your thick heads? Is that what Jesus did? What did he do? He calmed the wind and told the sea to be still. He took away the real problem. You see, all they could see was there was water in the boat. But Jesus saw the problem was the storm. Now, he says to them, I got to get this right. I hope you got your Bibles open because you need to get this right too. It's important. He says, peace be still. Then the wind ceased and there was dead calm. Now, if you're on a sailboat, you need to understand dead calm isn't exactly what you want because dead calm means you ain't going nowhere. That means now you got to paddle this puppy or you got to crank the motor up, but it's dead calm. Now, we know he got to the other side because read the rest of the next chapter. So there must have been a little wind stirred up. There was dead calm. It was time for him to talk to his disciples. He took away every bit of threat. He calmed the wind, he calmed the waves, and he settles that boat in the water. Dead calm. Dead calm. And he says to them, Now remember, they've been with him for a while now. He's been explaining parables to them the whole time. They saw miracles happen. They saw demons exorcised. They saw lame people walk, blind people see. They saw Jesus at work. Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith? Have you still no faith? All you've seen, all you've witnessed, you still have no faith. And they are amazed. So they didn't have any faith. Because now they go, who the heck is this who the wind obeys and the sea obeys? Who's in this boat with us sleeping on a cushion? You know, in our lives, there are many ways. And we get it that we may ask Jesus, do you care if we're going through pain and sorrow? But he does care. He cares about far more than that. There are many ways our faith is tested. How many of you know how many ways your faith is tested? There's probably more than we can count, but I'm going to give you three. And these may have subcategories in them, but I'm going to give you three. If you want to write them down, that'll be good. If you think you can remember them, that'll be even more miraculous. Because I can't remember my name sometimes. Thank God it's on my driver's license with a picture. You can hold that puppy up by the mirror and say, yep, that's me. How many of you have got a recent driver's license in Wyoming? Those are absolutely the worst pictures they've ever put on an ID. I know I'm taking an aside here, but it just ran through what brain cells I've got left. It is hard. Honey, Carrie loves hers. She'll show it to everybody here just right. You know, so you might look at your driver's license, look at the mirror, and not recognize the two people. It might be that different, but trust that it's yours since you have it. Three ways that our faith is tested. One is through tragedy, calamity, storms. We got that one, right? We got that, and everybody faces a choice when your faith is tested. Either you get closer to God or you draw away. It either draws you to God or it pushes you away. We get that, don't we? Jesus cares. We know and we hope and we pray that Jesus is caring for us in the middle of that pain and that misery. But the other thing we've learned is this too passes. Everything that we face in this life is temporary. Youth is temporary. Everything is temporary. Jobs, skills, talents, gifts, abilities, everything we face in this life is temporary. Our faith is tested on many levels beyond the tragic. Our faith is also tested when things are good. Our faith is tested through tragedy, through storms, but it's also tested when things are good. Because it's then that we are tempted away to pat ourselves on the back and say, I made it. In a way, that'll draw us away from God quicker than trials and tribulations. Because it's easy, right? I don't need anything. You see, we put God in a Band-Aid box, a first aid kit, and we go get him out when trouble comes, and if he takes care of helping us bail the boat, then we are happy with him. But if he says, I ain't helping you bail that boat, there's a bigger problem here, let's get to that, we're going to kick him out because we don't want to go there. You see, our faith is tested. We don't want to submit ourselves to the will of God. That's where the problem comes from. How many of you have been doing our Wesley series with us? Not many. You've been missing it. Wesley said one of the biggest cancers and worst things that we face in the church is apathy and complacency and failing to attend the disciplines. I hear it all the time. Pastor, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Really? How many of you think that's true? If you think that's true, show me in the very Word of God where it says that's okay. Folks, there are a lot of people out here who think they're going to heaven, going to bust hell wide open. There's a lot of people think they've got a fire insurance policy written out on a piece of paper, but all they got is some kindling for their own fire. This book actually says attend the disciplines. Paul says in Hebrews, do not forsake the assembling together of yourselves, as is the habit of the unbelievers. You see, when you get cut from the herd, you are easy pickings for the wolf. That's why he calls us together. That's why he calls us to fellowship. That's why he calls us to open the book together, to pray together. We had four people in Sunday school this morning, and Nicholas was five, but he was sleeping, so he don't count. He wasn't actually sleeping. He was... Okay, what do you think? Let's ask the witnesses. Hey, go watch Facebook Sunday School and tell me what you think. Four people. There are 26 here. Where were you other 22? Too much trouble? Can I get up too early? Is it too inconvenient? Or is it just not your thing? Tell it to Jesus and see how it stands up. Pastor, I can't get on that Zoom on Wednesday night, and I can't come down there and sit in that parlor. I got too much to do. Really? I can't go to those Bible study things. That's a lot of commitment. And that's the night I play cards with the girls and the boys. Heaven forbid I couldn't let that go, you know. Or maybe that's the night I go down and play down at the slot machines. I slip down there and do some of the... Why are we not submitting ourselves as Christians to the will of God? It's how we get in trouble. The further you get away from God, the easier pickings you are. And the easiest way the devil has learned, he can turn you in tragedy, but he's learned it's easier to turn you with shiny bells and whistles, toys and trinkets. He's learned that if he could get you away from church, get you away from your Bible, get you away from Christian fellowship, he's made it so easy to find 9 million excuses why you don't open your Bible and why you don't read your Bible and why you don't fast and why you don't attend church when it's going good. You want him to bail you out, but you don't want him to really take control of your life. Number two, he'll take us through a life of plenty. The devil will lead us away. Two ways, tragedy and plenty. What's the third way? Selfishness, self-centeredness. Unwilling to serve. Unwilling to be inconvenienced. Well, Pastor, that sounds kind of like... No, it's different. You got tragedy. We got that. Number one, you got ease. You can get away. No problem, no harm, no foul. I can go down the lake. I could... You know the excuse that bothers me? One of the worst things that bothers me? Sunday's the only day I can spend with my family. What better place to be with them than church? It's an hour. Hour and a half now if you come Sunday school. But the other one is through just selfish, self-centered, self-feelings. And we live in a society of entitlement today. We live in a society where it isn't okay for me to try to understand what you're going through but not agree with it. You see, it's all about the individual. There isn't a God anymore. There isn't somebody that we're accountable to. We're our own gods. We're selfish, self-centered, always seeking our own way. God says, Jesus says in the Bible, God's Spirit will not always deal with mankind, but he will give him over to the lust and desires of his flesh. The result thereof is death. And he says in the last days, the Apostle Paul, for they will be lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. They will have a form of godliness. They say it. but they lack the power thereof, which is the Holy Spirit. They'll be lovers of self, hate, anger, all of those things will be them. From such, turn away. For the end would be near. You see, the third way is we're too stubborn to let go of our will and accept the will of God. How many of you are comfortable when you read the Apostle Paul say that I am a slave to God? How many of you want to be a slave to God this morning? Let's soften it up. Servant. Does that feel better? I kind of like that better myself, don't you? That slave thing, I'm picturing shackles and chains, and I'm thinking whips, and I'm thinking sleeping in a caged room so I don't get away. So let's say servants. Servants get them a nice room. You know, it's all from the master's room. That's where you got the idea of the master bedroom, by the way. So what we have today, this is what happens, is we are unable to see the will of God because we won't give up our own. We won't be God's servant. I like that song, and you know, I picked them out just for us this morning. My God leadeth me. You see, that's one of the problems we have, isn't it? We don't want to be led. We want to lead. We don't want to be told what we should do. We want to tell somebody what to do. We don't want to bail the bucket by ourselves. And it was interesting. Nicholas brought a wonderful thing up. I'm going to bring it up now. How many of you in your house have a trash can? Now, some of you live by yourself, so this isn't going to be your same situation. At our house, it is pile high and see how long you can keep it in. Anybody else been there and done that at your house? You know, you go in there and you put something on and you go, it's like Jenga. You know, only instead of taking it out, you pile it on. I go in there and I look and I'm going to say, how much more? And I leave it. I don't even slam the door. I'm afraid it'll just collapse and fall in. And I'll say, Nicholas, take the trash out. Why me? Why couldn't Candy do it? And he's thinking, why didn't you do it? You saw it, but you asked me. You know? Right? You see, we don't want to be the one that takes out somebody else's trash. We don't want to be a servant to help somebody else clean up their mess that they made. But did you notice what Jesus did in this text? He calmed the storm before he gave them the teaching. Folks, sometimes you got to get your hands dirty to be able to share the message. Being a servant means listening to God and God's will, even when you don't understand why. Pastor, it's impossible. There's nothing impossible with God. Jesus cares. He doesn't just care about you, though you may think you're the only one in the universe. But he cares about those other people around you. And guess what? He puts them in your life for a reason. Be careful that it's he that has put them there, not Satan who has put them there as well. There's two sides to that. Is it good or is it bad? You figure out which one it is and go with it. If it's good, it's God. If it ain't, it's the devil. If it brings you closer to God, if it brings you into the will of God, if it brings you into service to God, then it's good. But if it does anything else, if it takes you away, if it causes you to question your faith, it causes you to put your Bible away, causes you to stop praying, attending church, get it out of the way, because it's an idol, it's a stumbling block, it's a temptation. And sometimes our worst place and test of faith is looking at us in the mirror. We get in our own way. There are times when God calls us to service and work, but there's also time when he calls us to step back and take a look. Sometimes God puts us in the game. Sometimes he puts us on the bench. Sometimes he puts us in the waiting room. And those are times when he's preparing us, and maybe we need to be preparing ourselves as well. Does Jesus care? You bet. But he cares about the real stuff. To him, the storm, he had it. And if the disciples would have believed in him, maybe they would have said, "Teacher, can you do something about the storm?" Instead of saying, "Come and help us bail." They wanted Jesus to become part of their problem, not the solution to it. And that is his role. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. You see, it's about submitting to the will of God, for he knows the answers where we do not. It's about trusting him in the fierce storms of life, but it's also about trusting him when things are plentiful, for apathy and complacency can destroy your journey and push you out of the will of God. Be not deceived. But watch out for the sin of selfishness, self-centeredness, and self-serving. It's hard to be a servant. It's hard to take out someone else's trash, even if you did add to it yourself. You see, it's hard to be a servant. And Satan will show you so many ways that that person may not be deserving of that, and that you are deserving of far more. But humble ourselves and find ourselves in the presence of God. Submit ourselves and serve, and know peace, and know joy that passes all understanding. For Jesus came to give us life and give us abundant life. But we have to give up this one to get the one he's promised. Our gracious and loving God, may we know that you care. So much so that you sent your Son to die for us on an old rugged cross. To be beaten and shamed, to spit on, his beard plucked out and beaten with a reed upon his head. To be mocked and laughed at and nailed to that cruel, cruel cross with iron spikes piercing his flesh and the blood dripping on the ground. And only a sponge of gall and vinegar was offered to refresh his thirst. Thieves hanging on his left and his right. One crying in arrogance and anger and daunting and taunting. The other begging for mercy. Not from the soldiers, but from the Savior. Father, may we not be worried about somebody to help us bail out the water, but let us hunt the one that can calm the storm. The one who can say to the storm, "Peace, be still." For Father, we realize that sometimes he does calm the storm, but sometimes he calms us in it. For in that storm, there may be things we need to see, to learn, and a witness to share. And Father, help us fight against apathy and complacency, to only have you in a Band-Aid box, to serve and to fake our service to you, to make excuses blaming everyone else. And Father, help us with the greatest of all of these three ways our faith is tested. And that is through our own rebellious nature, our own self-serving wills, our own unwillingness to bend. Father, we pray that we would be accepted, but are we willing to do the same. Father, we pray together every Sunday to be forgiven as we forgive. Father, are we there? Father, we pray that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But Father, are we there? How gracious and loving God, the world around us is in turmoil, hatred and anger, frustrations, lies and dishonesty, deceit, calling that which is evil good and that which is good evil. It's all around us. Concessions and compromise that are destroying morality and integrity. Father, let us find ourselves before you on our knees as a church, as a Christian people, that we would repent, rededicating our hearts and lives, and that revival would begin in our own hearts and lives, that it could spread into our communities, into our nation, and into the world. For what we need in this world is God through Jesus Christ, repentant hearts, servant spirits, and loving embraces. May we, empowered by you, stand up to the call and answer it. Because you do care. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now may grace and peace go with you, bless you, and keep you. May you go to know the peace of Christ that surpasses all understanding. May you go in service, seeking first the kingdom of God and knowing that he will add all other things to it. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God.
Service recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.